L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 511. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me. It's a little later in the week, a little late on a Thursday afternoon, but you know,
still week.
We're still here. We're still happening.
It's not Friday.
We didn't wait all the way till Friday. I apologize. I am coming straight off a plane. Made a little day trip. I guess it was a day and a half trip. Took a little red eye on Tuesday night for some full day of meetings with the CFFC crew out there at the CFFC home office in Haddonfield, New Jersey. Spent the day there and then flew home this morning. We were kind of mapping out some 2025 plans and looking at the schedule and some options and fun stuff, just planning for the new year. But that precluded me from being, of course, at the media day that I had intended on being at, as well as recording the podcast yesterday. So off the plane and here. Gotta say, man, I actually got pretty lucky. I mean, well, we're all really lucky compared to everybody in L.A. We'll talk about that in a minute right now. But my dad and my stepmom are actually supposed to be coming out here, and they were actually supposed to fly in right around the same time as me. But coming from Dallas, like, I guess DFW, like, completely shut down, man. There's just snow, ice, crazy. So it was bad. And, like, I mean, honestly, it was cold. And like I saw, when I go to New Jersey, I go there in Haddonfield, I fly into Philadelphia, and then it's like a 20-minute drive from the airport or whatever over there to the CFFC home offices. And, dude, it was just downright cold. Like, it was like 20 degrees, like that bone chilling or whatever.
I mean, when you're wearing shorts out in the winter, it's going to be cold.
Well, sir. Sir,
did you have pants on?
I mean.
Sweatpants? Track pants?
Adidas pants. Yeah, that's the only pants I own, really. Outside of my suit pants, that's all I have. So, yeah, everybody was kind of laughing at me. They were like, really? That's all you got? And then I had on, like, my heavy hoodie. Like, yeah. I didn't really. I don't actually have a real jacket. Yeah.
At least you had pants on. Whether they're track pants or whatever, like, you had pants on.
I did,
like,
have pants on.
I mean, we've trekked through snow in South Korea, you know, in
that.
Shorts.
That was
like.
Good.
Like people stopping, like, what is going on? So the fact that you had some
sir,
sort of leg
lost?
Covering,
are yeah.
is your friend okay? Is he challenged? Is he okay?
Is he all right?
Is he okay?
Can we help you out, buddy? Yeah, but it was good. So it's good to be back. So anyway, straight over here to hang out with you, Cold Coffee.
Yes.
We'll certainly get into the media day that I did miss. I did on the plane on the way back get to watch all of it. Like I said, very fortunate. I really didn't have any delays or anything, even with all the cold weather and everything that's going on. But as I said. Man, I mean, I don't even know how you put it into words what's going on in California right now, man.
Yeah,
I was
it's bonkers.
You know, I was, like I said, we were in meetings, I mean, literally all day yesterday. So all of us were, you know, kind of tied up and you know, our attention was distracted and focused on other things. But it's hard to ignore the news reports and social media. And, I mean, dude, it looks terrible, man.
Yeah,
like, it looks like one of the most awful things I ever remember seeing.
It's like apocalyptic. Like, you know, I've seen some different videos that were made. One person was going through this super nice, like, cool, like, hipster, like, shopping area where there are people playing music and there were eateries and stuff. And they were like, this was when we were here just, you know, the other day, blah, blah, blah. And then fast forward and then it cuts to the scenes of, like, just the gutted out complex is just, like, gone,
it's
you know,
crazy.
For the most part. I was seeing some reports. I mean, who knows what they say. I mean, at this point, people are always start speculating, you know, see people reports of, like, what started things. And, you know, now that you get reports of people saying that they saw these masked groups that were going around supposedly starting fires in different areas or whatever. So you got all this little crazy shit. But I do remember before it started, I remember hearing I don't know if it was Simon, the managing editor for Junkie, was saying, like, the wind is really, really crazy going on out here. Like, the last thing we need is fires to start up.
Right.
And I don't know if he said that because there was a fire somewhere or if he just happened to say it.
He said that right before it all started.
It was, like, before it started
oh,
a little
geez.
Bit. And then it was, like, literally like the next day or two, remember starting to hear about like the Palisade thing. So maybe there was a fire somewhere that prompted him to say that, but it felt like he said it just before it happened. And I was like, man, it was just, it was bad foreboding, because when you look at the devastation out there and how quickly it happens, and you know, just that sense of what do you do when all your belongings, everything's there, and like fire is just like one of those forces that, you know, it comes so quick and there's nothing you can really do. I mean, like, you spray water at it, you try to wet things down. If they drop stuff from the sky, that doesn't always work as well. There was a reporter saw something of this guy, and his family couldn't find him, and then they found him by his property, like either on the street, but he was still clutching like the water hose. And so when all I could think in my head was like, how quickly did this come on that he didn't even have time to drop the hose?
Oh, he was dead.
He was dead.
Oh,
yeah. So I don't know if it immediately just over, because like I was
the
seeing
smoke
some
inhalation,
the smoke
inhalation,
but
like
some
that.
Of the winds, watching the flames just go side to side, they were so fast that was just almost like maybe it just came and overcome him, and he tried, didn't even have a time to get out of it or whatever. I mean, that's what I mean.
It's got to be hard to like to come to that decision, like.
To stay or to leave.
Yeah. We got to go. Like, to just admit, like, there's nothing we can do. Grab what fits in your car and get the hell out. Like, that's got to be tough to do, you know?
And it happens with hurricanes. It happens with all these things where, you know, people make the decision, like,
I'm going to stay here and protect
what's mine. I want to stay here and protect what's mine, you know? Like, if I can do something that, like, what are the chances that it's really going to come here? You know, especially when the fires are so far off, you know, they're like, well, I'm just going to spray a little bit. I'll just keep.
And they've
keep
had fire. It's not, I mean, this, the reports I was reading is this is going to be the most damaging
it's
fire they've
the
ever had.
Fucking things,
but they've had fires all the time. So I'm sure, and it's the same thing growing up in Texas, you know, New Orleans, the coast, Houston and Texas, you know, people would say, they say it's going to be bad. Like, we've had plenty of these. So I'm sure it's some of those.
Media does do a good job of inciting the fear, inciting like this is the biggest crazy thing, and then unfortunately the byproduct of that is people's like they're selling it
Come
up.
On,
it's not how bad can it be? You know,
I'm staying.
But like you're right. I mean,
been here 50 years. I've
been here 50 years.
Yet.
It's never and by every account, it seems like this is legit, the real deal of what they're saying. You know, I mean, I haven't paid attention to like the death counts and stuff. I just every time I look on the TV, it's just it's so depressing. So
I mean,
heart goes
like
out to those people.
The Palisades fire is like as of when we're sitting down, I think like 0% contained. Like they haven't even been able to.
How
do
crazy!
It's
been going on for days. It's so scary, man.
So heart goes out to everybody that's out there, man. Like it is some of the scariest stuff I've ever seen. As you said, apocalyptic is how you describe it, man. It just looks scary.
Yeah.
There is an MMA tie. It seems a rather insignificant one, but it is a significant, you know, decision in the sport, and that is what happens to UFC 311, right?
Yep.
UFC 311 is supposed to happen next Saturday. You know, I've seen lots of people speculating about it, and it's a very understandable speculation. What is the UFC going to do? Are they going to move this thing? And I think it's kind of impossible to answer. Like, you know they're having the discussions right now, right? Like, obviously, everybody in the office, you know, at the highest level, you know, TKO, you know, everybody's got to be talking about it, right? Because you're thinking about logistics, but you're also thinking about safety. I mean, the last thing you would do is take your athletes and your staff and put them in harm's way. But we do know that between now and next Saturday, you know, there's going to be a lot of fire fighting going on, and there's going to be a lot of containment, you would hope. I mean, I know they're battling the elements with the wind, but this thing is going to improve. Now, I mean, it may improve simply because literally the whole city burns down. You know what I mean? Like, I hate to say that, but you know what I mean? Like, things are going to change. This thing is going to stop eventually. But, you know, I think it's probably a little early for the UFC to make a decision. You and I were talking about just before we got on here. I mean, you are starting to see things delayed, you know, concerts and, you know, film premieres and plays and, you know, other entertainment options that are being delayed. But I would say that some of them are actually being rescheduled for next week. Some of the things are happening this weekend and they're delaying to next week. It's not without precedent, right? I mean, we've seen we've seen this happen before. We've seen it go the other way, right? Of course, the UFC event that John Jones was involved in and the picograms, and remember the story, and it went from Vegas to L.A. You would think you could just as quickly go from L.A. to Vegas. I believe in looking at the T-Mobile calendar, I didn't see anything on the T-Mobile calendar for next Saturday, so I'm sure the partners there would be more than happy to accommodate. That's a positive. But I would imagine that the UFC is thinking about that as an absolute last case scenario. Yeah. Like that, like if there is any way in hell to host this event in LA next Saturday night, they're going to do it, right? Because, again, they do likely have a backup plan at T-Mobile Arena. They always have a backup plan at the Apex, but we know what's going to – I mean, A, we know what fan reaction to that is going to be.
Yep.
B, we also know what type of lost revenue you're talking about in terms of ticket sales, merchandise, all those things. Plus, you're talking about –
because they have to refund all that shit.
Got
to
refund all that stuff. Then you have – logistical operations. How do you get everything done? You know, you don't have hotel space right now. Do you? I mean, there's so many little things. Not even to mention just artwork and television commercials and radio spots and all those things. Like, they all have to be redone. I mean, there's so many things that have to be checked off that I would think that is like. You may say, well, out of an abundance of caution, why don't they just make the decision now? Because it is a hugely financial, impactful decision, and I think they're going to wait until the last possible minute to try to move it.
And even on that point, you know, I wonder if it's just better in their minds than to postpone it as opposed to pick it up and move it. Just change the date to a later date, you know, and hope that they can make it up at some point.
I didn't even consider that.
I know. I just, when thinking about, like, trying to move it, doing all the things of just relocating everything, there's so much cost even just trying to move it. I wonder if they just try to say, okay, let's cut our losses. Let's postpone it. Issue the refunds that we have to. They've already, at this point, booked the travel for the fighters. But they can, if they stop it in advance, they could recoup or at least get flight credit probably where they could do some of that sort of stuff. So, you know, somebody asked me the other day, and they said, you think Dana's going to cancel it? You know, the governor's already declared a state of emergency, so if there's nothing that says that, like, if the state doesn't say, like, people stop coming here, stop coming to L.A., we're shutting down this because we have to make room for people that are being relocated from their burned-down houses, now they're going to take over the hotels, or they're going to take over arenas for temporary structures.
Yeah.
If the Intuit doesn't burn down, Dana's going to want it to go. He's going to want it to happen, you know.
It's incredibly close to LAX. So if the airport is open and the arena is open, I think they're going to try too. So if I was looking at the, so to your point, I was looking at the schedule for the Intuit Dome, this massive, amazing new facility that WWE used last week, and you know, the UFC is looking to debut in. It's the home of the LA Clippers. Well, the LA Clippers, as of now, are scheduled to play there Saturday night, the 11th, Monday night, the 13th. And Wednesday night the 15th. And if those three games continue on and happen at the Intuit Dome, there's no way the UFC doesn't go ahead. They just go ahead and host the event, right?
I mean, when has Dane ever been like, you know, out of abundance of caution, you know, I know the NBA is doing it. He was the guy that when nobody else was doing it, Dana was like, we're going to do it.
Yep.
So if the NBA still does it, I think Dana, I could see Dana literally, if somebody asked him, were you worried? Did you think it was, you know, maybe dangerous to bring this event here and bring all these fighters here if there was these raging wildfires. I can see Dana almost taking offense to that. Like, that's silly.
Yep.
NBA is going on here. Life moves on. You got to stop wearing whatever. Trust the men and women that are in our firefighting forces and trust this.
And in fact, anybody that's a first responder can come down and grab one of these free tickets. You know, we've got to be the shining light of entertainment.
Even better.
You know what I mean? These men and women, you know, they're having a hard time out there and they need something to come home and watch on TV. They need to be able to open a Bud Light and grab a P3
their
snack
first
pack.
Bud Light as well is on us.
I mean, and look, you're right. I mean, it's well, the precedent has been set in that Dana is going to push through any situation. Unless, of course, you know, like I said, there's, you know, if this fire is 100 yards away from the Intuit Dome or whatever. But I think it's going to take somebody else saying, bro, it's not safe. I will say, to be honest with you.
There's a concert that was canceled Wednesday last night. Rod Wave. He looks like maybe a rapper.
Was that at the Intuit Dome?
It was at the Intuit Dome. Said that he canceled the show hours before showtime due to wildfires sweeping across. The health and safety of our fans and employees will remain the top priority of the arena, which just 2 days earlier hosted a WWE Raw taping.
That's right.
Said Wednesday of the cancellation. Tickets will be refunded at the original point of purchase.
Interesting.
But I bet the gate value of, I don't know this Rod Wave, compared to a UFC 311.
I don't
think you're going to set ticket gate records with a Rod Wave concert.
The Dana is going to be on Saturday night of UFC 311 and be like, guys, we had a great night. we didn't quite beat Rod Wave, but we've got second in the history of the Intuit Dome. We're happy about that. We're yep. You know what I mean? We're going to come back, and we're going to try to take out Rod Wave next time. Yeah, I agree. So here – so,
but that's interesting. I mean,
So a cancellation has already happened.
A cancellation of a show. That could have been the
– at that venue.
And it could have, you know, it could have just been poor ticket sales anyway. And they're just like, hey, you know, out of abundance of caution, we're going to save the three people that were coming to see Rod Wave tonight. I don't know. I don't know who Rod Wave is. Maybe he's badass. I don't know. But I just happened to do a search, and I was looking at the Intuit Dome and saw that they did cancel that show.
I did notice, and this might shock you as well, that Igor Levitt, of course, the classical pianist, his concert was also postponed. It was going to be at the Walt Disney Concert Hall. I know that that's heartbreaking because
literally have my car keys right here. I was like,
not the way. So here is
what was his name again?
I don't know.
Yeah, that guy. That's the guy I was gonna go see. That one,
Igor Levitt.
Igor.
All right. So I actually
catch the next one, Igor.
So you touched on something about like needing the hotel.
Oh yeah.
To be honest with you, like I'm one person. What difference I'm gonna make? But yeah. I was kind of thinking like maybe it would be dumb of me to go down there. Like maybe,
what to help?
No, because I was gonna go down. Like I'm planning as of right now to fly out there on Thursday for the weekend. I was just gonna go for the press conference, weigh-ins, and the fights.
I was gonna say you're not even getting a hotel, are you?
No. I had.
Are you?
Because I was gonna go Thursday morning and then. I had a hotel.
Oh, because you said press conference. I know you've been doing these. You know, like I'm gonna fly in on fight night. I'm gonna just watch it and then I'm just gonna go straight to the airport. You know, that's how I roll.
I've done one or two of those. Just
how I roll.
Just a little quick hitter into town.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to fucking talk to nobody. I just want to go. Sit in my seat, watch the fights, tappy-tappy on my computer, tappy-tappy-tappy.
How else will I have quality content for the and a half episode?
That's
true. What I mean?
That's true.
So I got to do it. No, but I don't know. Like, so I don't. Part of me is like, don't be silly, bro. If you're going. But part of me is like, man, I don't know. Like, why go in there and create more bodies and stuff in there depending on what's going on? Oh, bodies is probably the wrong word to use. But
good point.
More people, more foot traffic.
Yeah.
And, you know,
more
like I said,
logistics to take care of. Yeah. Should they have to evacuate?
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm being silly with that or not, but I kind of thought, like, maybe it's, like, I don't
know. People are still flying in there for pleasure or whatever. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't want it to sound, you know, disingenuous, but I mean, life goes on. Like, if they're not closing the airport, people need to go in there and do business. People are going to be traveling for all kinds of things. I mean, if they issued a statement that said, please don't come to L.A. unless this is home,
right?
Unless you're whatever, they need. I mean,
then
just like anyway,
that.
They
then
need
to.
The, then you should respect them. Like, okay, they're telling me not to come.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, but no. As for if you should feel bad for going, no. I mean, like. Stuff happens. Stuff happens in any major city, you know. This just happens to be a really, 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 really bad one. But I would think, like, I wouldn't feel bad for going in. I mean, you have a legitimate reason to be there. And, in fact, if anything else, you're going to be giving business to some, you know, company that's going to be there. You're going to be buying food. You might buy a couple drinks. Maybe.
Maybe
buy a couple drinks. So, I mean, you're going to be giving back to the community that could be hurting. So
I always do contribute to the local economy, that's for sure.
100%, you know. So, no, I mean, it is what it is. But, you know, thinking of, you know, even with the stuff I've done with, like, you know, the work I do with the Red Cross
right.
and things, like, a lot of times there are plans that are usually put in places for these big major places that can actually house people that should there be a mass event happen that they can easily do it. And a lot of times arenas are those venues. Now, if an arena is being used by a team, more than likely they would decline the request for somebody to use them. But I will tell you...
But the government has the ability to essentially seize them, right?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think they still can do it. I mean, if they maybe there is something. I mean, but I think maybe then if it was like maybe like a martial law or something. But I don't think still as a private entity
that they can just tell you, like, bro,
tell
sorry,
you, like,
we're
sorry.
Using, we're housing people here. Sorry, shut down your business.
Now, usually part of why they do it, it's a huge PR move in the favor of these venues to do it. You know, if you're not using the venue, like you see it happen with a lot of football venues, say down in New Orleans and other stuff, if they're not actively being used or say if it's out of season, why wouldn't you use it? Because there's usually a lot of government money that was funded to use to build these places.
Right.
So when the city says, hey, company that we funded hundreds of millions of dollars to help build this thing, like, hey, can you help us out? We'll help staff security. We'll help do whatever. But, you know, and the community remembers that, you know. So,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
If the Intuit Dome or somebody was like, if there was a massive amount of people, fortunately, people are able to go to other shelters and other little sort of stuff. But if they needed an arena, there is all possibility that the arena could have said, hey, use us. But if they're actively in the middle of having Clippers games and other stuff, they could easily say, sorry, you know, like, it just doesn't work right now. This is our biggest time of the year or whatever. And that's fine. They're not obligated to make themselves feel like it,
yep.
to do that. But it is a great PR move because the city will never forget the fact that you helped them out in their time of need.
That's
you
big.
Know, like, they'll remember it forever, you know.
I feel like it's almost irresponsible to speculate because, again, that Palisades fire, last thing I saw, 0%
That's
contained.
That's so crazy.
So there's no telling what could happen. So I think, like I said, I think it's almost irresponsible to speculate. But if I sitting here right now, if I had to guess, if you're like, John, sorry, man, you got to make a decision right now. What is it? I think the event happens.
CNN says it's still zero as of 8 minutes ago. That is crazy.
Well, but again, you talked about the
more
winds.
Burned more than 17,000 acres so far.
Because that's not
acres out in the woods.
No, that's
where there's nothing
populated
there.
Populated acres.
Populated acres. That is frightening. That is just horrific.
As I sit here, I bet the event happens, though. I bet 311 happens. You talk about delaying. Delaying's tough, though, because now you're talking about like 30 athletes that you're like, sorry, dude.
UFC's already booked their hotels. They already got the flights. They already got the thing. So if as long as they don't have to like scramble to go and get new hotel rooms, everything's already running for them, you know? So until somebody says, no, you can't come here, or the venue says, sorry, we have to push this date back, Dana's going to go. Like, I mean, they have to go. We've seen, even if they postponed it, we've seen multiple events that got postponed that never happened.
Right.
You know, and they try to squeeze it in. But when you already have a year that already tends to flesh itself out, how do you smash another pay-per-view back into something? It's already hard enough. So Dana's going to fight tooth and nail to do it. I mean, and regardless if people say, is it irresponsible to put on an event while people are still fighting for their lives and their property damage? I can see him just saying, like, life goes on. You know, shit happens, you know. Maybe what they need right now is to get their mind off the fire. That's exactly what they say.
100%.
They need to get their they need to stop thinking about the fire, and they need half naked people beating the shit out of each other for their entertainment.
100%.
And they'll forget the fact that they just lost their life's property.
100%.
You know?
Hey,
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, and as much as we joke about it, I mean, I get it. I don't expect the UFC to shut it down. Just like I don't expect the Clippers to fucking stop playing tonight. I don't expect, you know, a bank that's happened to be doing business in that area to shut down. Granted, that's business. One's entertainment. Some people might say, oh, well, one's entertainment and one's life. You need this to happen. For some people, that being able to watch a game and be able to shut down after work is part of their life. For all those fighters,
for all this, it's,
that's
you know
their
I mean?
Life.
That is their
that
life.
Is their
that
life.
Is their business.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean? So if you're
good
like, because think about it. If you go to the 30 athletes that are on that card and you're like, hey, what do you think, man?
Do you mind
like,
if we postpone
what
this?
What do you think? Yeah, they're saying we can do it if we want to, but like, I don't want you guys to feel unsafe. Like, the fire is only a couple miles away.
Yeah.
Every one of them is going to be like, hell no, I'm fighting. Oh, I'm fighting. I need that paycheck.
I need
you know
paycheck.
What I mean? Like, that's just
reality. I mean, they're so individually wealthy from the 50-50 rev shares that they've had. Speaking of, I can't wait till we talk about Chris Curtis, but I thought his insight for like the PFL and like whether 50-50 rev shares would work was really, really good.
It was one of the most honest assessments I've ever heard.
100%.
And he's absolutely right. And he's like, look, you know, and we'll talk about the whole card, but might as well jump into it because I did want to talk about the PFL as well. But we're talking about the GFL here,
GFL,
right?
PFL.
Was brought out. He was kind of asked about the whole thing and how he would have handled PFL and Bellator, and I thought he actually laid out a pretty
That's
damn
pretty
good
idea.
Scenario,
yeah.
you know. And he did talk about GFL, and he was like, "Man, I didn't even know about it. Obviously, I wanted to succeed." It's kind of what we've been saying all along. Like, look, I don't want to sound like I'm trashing it here because I'm not. Like, I want it to work.
Yep.
But okay, 50-50 rev share is great. But again, every company, not just fight company, almost every company on the planet loses money when it starts.
Yep.
Like that's what they tell you. If you've ever been to business school or business classes or anything, they tell you, look, when you open, make sure you have at least a year's worth of revenue to operate without a single dollar of profit. If so, you're undercapitalized if you don't have it, and you're going to fail because you have to lose money to make money.
Yep.
You have to establish the brand. You have to establish a following. You have to establish loyalty. And he said it from the beginning. He's like, so if I get 50% of revenue, but the revenue zero. What's
50% of nothing?
What's
nothing.
That? You know, it's still nothing. You know what I mean? So I thought it was an honest assessment, and it really is.
Yep.
And again, I'm such a fan of the sport, and you know, obviously my life is trending more towards the business side of the sport now as well, and working behind the scenes with the CFFC and doing all those things. And so I get it. Like, I'm not trying to like poo-poo on anybody, man. I want everybody to succeed, but they're right. Like, there's no TV deal announced yet. There's no locations. There's no – you know what I mean? Like, that's big. That's where the revenue comes from. And so it's like, how do you pay all these athletes if you don't have the revenue there yet? So it was a very honest assessment.
He was so – it's funny. Like, what was it? One of the guys in our Slack chat was like, that had to be the longest interview for a guy that wasn't like the main event that, you know, I
solid
forget how
half
they
hours.
It was a solid half hour. I even
he's funny though, man. Chris Curtis is
he's
storytelling
so
abilities.
Honest and open, just like everything. Like, let me tell you whatever. He's like, oh yeah, me and Sean, he didn't sugarcoat. He's like, yeah, I pretty much told him I was going to cripple him, blah, blah, blah. I was going to hit him with a brick. I was like, and then I was like, of course, somebody in my staff is going to fucking write that in the one of the headlines. And it did. You're just making it worse for him, you know. But I love that he's just honest and candid. Even at the very end, I was just like, my parting one was like, "Give me your keys to victory. What needs to happen?" He went on like another 8 minutes. I was like, "Bro, that was just tossing you a softball. You like just hit it and just you could say a few lines and be done." He was like, "No, I'm not quite done yet." And I was like, "Holy shit!" But it was amazing.
Great. Chris Curtis is great, man.
He was great. I mean, like, I don't know how, you know. People love to, you know, either talk shit, call him, you know, oh, he's a crybaby. He'll say this, but then when he gets in there, his fight style is completely different. Dude, everybody's like that. Everybody will tell you they're going to be the baddest motherfucker. And then when you get in there, you realize, hey, you're a fight.
Yep.
Shit changes, you know, like, don't just think it's him. Don't think it's whatever, but... there was something so refreshing. One, I was glad that it was only an 8-fighter media day, so that was good. There was not as many media present, minus yourself, which I knew that there was quite the possibility that it wasn't going to be there, but there were still even less people than I thought would maybe be there.
Amy Kaplan had made the move, So
speaking of, when you were talking about Dallas, so she sent me a picture the other day, or maybe it was earlier today, because I asked her, I was like, how's the move going? Backyard. Bunch of snow everywhere. Their pod, I think they use the pod for the moon where you load the pod and then somebody moves it. Was, I think, slowly transiting out there, and then they had to deal with the snow. She's like, now it might not get here till like whatever next week. And I was like, doesn't your job start like in 3 days? I was like, I hope you got enough clothes or whatever.
Man.
So, but yeah, so So Kaplan wasn't there. Yeah. She's dealing with all that stuff out there in Dallas or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it was so cool that still with like Chris at the, he was the very last dude, but still had the energy that he was like, I'm going to talk to you guys. You know, like Dern came out with her huge security dog, which was beautiful. Which was just, it was so well behaved, but it was like ginormous, you know? And I remember when, I think it was Oscar's like, why are you bringing this? You know? And she's like, well, you know, I tend to, she was like, of course, like this, all the things that a support animal would. But then she was like, you know, and I tend to bring drama because people, I don't know, were speculating whether this new marriage is done or something's
I've
going
seen
on.
All that.
So,
but I did like what she said about, like, you know, like you said, all the stuff like an emotional support dog would do, but just talking about how it relates to her fighting as well. Like, just keeping me in the moment, you know,
just keeping
like
her
just
level.
Yeah.
You know, like, who, I mean, regardless, this was like her fourth headline event. And, you know, I asked her, you know, is it getting easier? Is it not as much pressure? Even if she says, yes, it's getting better or whatever, but, like, you want a sense of just, like, normalcy. And how normal can it be a fight week? I remember, you know, knowing that, you know, you're getting in a fight by the what do you call it, the flagpole at the after school. It's like, you're frustrated. You're just like, let alone to have multiple days of, like, yes, I'd want whatever it took to just maintain.
It is such a mental test. And, I mean, you know, obviously we've been covering the sport for years. We talked about it. But, if something went down in a heartbeat and anybody on the roster had to react, like, they're cleaning out the bar, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're all so well-trained and they're all so good at what they do. Like, pick anybody to a man or a woman on the roster and they're taking out everybody.
Yeah.
That's not the problem. The problem is the preparation where every day you, like, you've got this opponent in your head and you're thinking about what they're doing and you're thinking about, you know, well, man, I bet they worked this hard today, so I got to work this hard today. And then you have that anticipation of, like, oh, man, we're going to get in the cage and we're going to – you know, I mean, it's just – it's hard mentally. So if if a massive dog that probably weighs more than she does
probably
is what what like helps keep you calm and folks in center, like, cool. It was neat to see them. It looked like a huge dog.
That it was like a bull mastiff or what it is, but it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was so chill, because she sat down and it was so funny, because then you just see it, he popped his head up and literally just set it on the table, and I was like, oh my god. But it was gorgeous. But it was interesting. So between the two of them, Amanda Ribas is like, yes, I think we should get the next title shot regardless. I'm getting this.
I'm so glad you're bringing this
up. On the other side, was like, no, I think we need another fight. I don't think we're quite there. And I was like, wow, there's two totally different worlds.
I had that in my notes. I was watching it on the plane on the way back, and that definitely stood out to me. And like,
but I love that she said that.
But I do too. I love the honesty.
Yes.
I love the honesty. You know what I mean? And it's to be honest, here's what's weird about it, is I'm not sure who's right.
Yeah.
Because
it's really weird if you
look at it, because I heard it in your question, you were bringing it up, and you're spot on. Vanna Jandioba is like, you would think she's next. She's higher ranked, she's on the streak. But she's lost to both of them.
Yep.
They both beat her.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
But only Amanda, I think, is the only one that brought that up. I don't know if Mackenzie actually said it. Maybe she did at some point, but Amanda was like, we beat her.
Yeah.
We've already beat her.
It's
like,
interesting.
People want to see us.
And they both, I think, because I think Mackenzie even said, even though she said, or maybe it was Amanda, but one of them straight up said, they're like, we both have big followings. You know what I mean? Like, and look, that's a real part of the decision-making process. Yep. This is not, you know, this is not the college football playoffs or the NFL playoffs where it's like you just win and you advance and the bracket plays out. Like, no, it's who do people want to see?
Yep.
And they're right. You know what I mean? So, like, you could, and it's so easy because – it's so easy to make the case of, like, because, like, now, if Vierna had beat both of them and you give one of them the title shot, then you're like, Dana, how did you do this? They're like, well, it's just the scheduling. But here it's easy. Yep. It's like, well, look, I mean, we thought Vierna was next, but
look at this performance.
This performance was amazing. If you go back, they actually beat
her.
So you got to go there. But it is true. So I'm not sure that it's locked in. And, of course, you know, you got to see what happens with Tatiana and Zhang Weili first and see how that all plays out. But they could jump ahead of her. I think Vierna should be next. She's had the most recent results. She's had the most buzz.
She's on like a 4-fight win streak, I think.
That's it. Even though these two have beaten her, it was a couple years ago. Yep. They've had some mixed results since.
Yep.
So I think Vierna should be next. But I will say it's not out of the realm of possibility. But I love what you said, because I picked up on that. That was so interesting that Amanda was like, absolutely, we're next.
Yep.
Mackenzie's like, nah, probably. Not only did she say maybe not, she was like, probably not. We probably need one more.
Yeah. But I was like, that's somebody that, you know, and I have no, I'm not faulting Amanda for saying whatever. You gotta manifest that shit. You gotta put it out there and you gotta say it. But I love the fact that she was just like, you know, yeah, in all actuality, I think, you know, even with a great performance here, I think we need another one. I think she was respectful of the fact that, you know, things, you know, maybe Vierna will get the shot or whatever. But what was interesting, both of them were unanimous in the belief that they thought Tatiana was going to get it done.
Yeah.
You know, and as much as I think all of us for years and years, Tatiana's been this force that
champion
we've been
waiting to happen.
You know, but she's had these injury issues. You know, she's had these things. And then when you, at the end of the day, it's Zhang Weili, for Pete's sake.
I know.
You know, it's like, do you just count her out because we have this dominant force that we know has great ability?
Zhang Weili is
great. I feel stupid just wanting to say, because I believe Tatiana can get it done.
Absolutely.
But I'm also not just right now ready to say, you know, Weili, that was a good run. But now you've finally met your match. Because if Tatiana doesn't come in 100% and isn't firing on all cylinders, dude, Weili is tough. She's super strong.
So I had not looked at the odds for that fight that are out.
I wonder.
Tatiana is the dog.
Is she really?
The dog. Yeah, Tatiana's the dog.
That's surprising.
I'm looking at DraftKings right now. Tatiana plus 145, Zhang Weili minus 175.
Did she start as the dog?
She actually started as a bigger dog and got bet down a little bit, which I would it looks like she opened up at around plus 175, which I would definitely put some money on that. But it is because I am one of those people that has seen Tatiana and just been like, oh, champ in waiting, like that chick is going to hold the title,
she's
like she's so damn good.
Yeah.
But you know, you have all these delays, you have all these injuries, and then as you said, Zhang Weili, seems like she's getting better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she's rounding out her game. Yeah. She's adding the wrestling. She's, yeah. She's got the power.
That's like she's adding the wrestling. Adding the wrestling and then going to somebody that is legit wrestling elite
yep.
is two totally different things. And I feel like we've seen Zhang Weili have some issues sometimes when she's gone on the ground. If Tatiana gets her on the ground, no matter how strong. The thing is, if it's early on the fight, I could see, you know, Zhang Weili just pushing her up, like doing the whole bench press and yep. throwing her off. But Tatiana's not a small girl by any means.
No.
She's a big girl.
No.
You know, like, that might work once,
yep.
but it's not going to work, you know, through the whole fight. She just has such a great way of making herself even heavier when
well,
she's on top.
Well, I was going to say, and that's when you talk about elite wrestling background, yep. like pure wrestling background like that, yep. that's one thing they're so good at is having that heavy base and distributing the weight yep. to where it's like you're
It's like
not,
night and day.
Yeah.
It's not like, I mean, you might find a jiu-jitsu guy that just are like, oh, I can't do anything. Like, wrestlers, when they're able to control it like that, it's two totally different things. Like,
yep.
they have a way of just sapping your energy and just sort of taking your heart out of it. So, I mean, I get it. But, man, I am surprised that Weili is a favorite.
I am, too, to be honest with you. I feel like public sentiment is so much in the favor.
I mean, like, have you heard anybody come out and say,
Nobody.
Like, everybody's saying
Nobody.
Tatiana? Like,
Nobody.
I wonder if it's because, I don't know, the bookmakers have a way of getting money on both sides.
Right.
You know.
Of course.
If everybody out there is saying Tatiana, 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 nobody's going to put money on Zhang Weili.
Right.
So what do? You
flip it the other way.
You flip it the other way.
Yep.
And then let the money drive it.
And that is such a good point, right? Like, we used to talk about this more often, but always remember when you're talking about a line, it is fun to look at as an indicator of like how people believe.
Yep.
But always remember that the bookmaker's job is not necessarily to get the fight right. Is to elicit equal action on both sides minimize their exposure.
That's it.
And to make sure that they remain profitable regardless
that's
of the
it.
Outcome of the
they
fight.
They will manipulate that line.
Yep.
I mean, and you see, that's the reason that why it moves.
Yep.
You know, and why they make such a big deal when a large amount of money goes on one particular side, because people tend to think like, oh, well, something's going on with the fighters. I am telling you, if everybody out there and their brother is saying Tatiana Suarez, why on earth would she not the favorite? You know,
that's true.
Like, I immediately look at that and I'm just like, okay, I call shenanigans. Like, immediately, like, be careful if you go in and you just start throwing
free
money.
Yeah. It's automatic. Yeah. Free money.
Like,
I tell you. So one more thing about the main event here, and it all relates into that fight they were talking about with Tatiana and Zhang Weili. But I did go back. So on the flight out to Philadelphia, I did go back and watch the first fight again. And I kind of remembered it. It kind of. Well, it's pretty much exactly as I remembered it, to be honest with you. It's been a few years. I went back and watched it, and I did. I was just like, as I watched it, I thought, while I believe that McKenzie has gotten better in her striking, I don't believe she's gotten good enough to really answer Amanda Ribas on the feet. And yep. I also believe that Amanda's grappling is good enough that as dangerous as McKenzie is on the ground, I don't think it's one of those situations where, like, Amanda dealt with all of her grappling, like, fine. She was never, like, in trouble. And she just got out of it. She got away.
Yep.
So in my head, I was like, I just don't – I like, to me, this is a very clear Amanda Ribas probably decision win again. You know, will five rounds be different than three? I don't know. Anyway, that's kind of was my initial impression of it. And I still think I do feel that way to a degree. It's just like, I've already seen this once. I don't think there's enough change in necessary areas to affect the outcome. But I will say, Alex Buchanan, I had totally forgotten, pointing out in the media day that first fight was 4 months after the birth of her child. I had totally forgotten about that.
Yeah.
Like, that is, and I love the fact that she even said, like, yeah, I kind of regret it. Like, that probably, I wasn't smart, I wasn't listening, and probably shouldn't have done that. There's no way 4 months after childbirth that doesn't affect you and impact your performance a little bit.
I would think.
You know what I mean?
Like, we're just dumb guys that don't understand the full biology of a woman's body and how well it recovers. But I would think, yes, if you take a living being out of that body, your body has some sort of like readjusting
right.
to get back to normal. But yeah, who knows? I mean, I'm sure she, you know, thought she could just power through it. But she has improved immensely in her hands. But yes, do I think it's enough to, you know, make her, you know, this – end all be all. I mean, to where it'll erase the deficits of the first one, probably not. I am leaning Ribas on this one, but man, McKenzie has looked good. Her hands have looked good, and I love how she before, it was like she was always trying to just look for a way to get the takedown. Throw a random shot out there so she could try to do a takedown. Now she really enjoys standing and fighting. And she's taken some shots. And she's given some shots. So it'll be interesting. But because I know we've seen Hebus take some damage and still just be an absolute force on the feet and, you know, being able to kind of do her thing on the ground. So I am leaning Hebus on this one. Man, she is so fun. Her energy is just ridiculous.
Infectious, man.
One of the guys in my so our Slack channel, like, all right, Kenny, your assignment is to get one of those like cackles out of her or whatever. And I didn't even mean to like ask. I asked something. I think when I asked her about like should it be a rematch or whatever, she's like started talking. She's like, no, it started going.
No,
they're like,
rematches.
They're like, well, you did it even without trying. I was like, that's just her. You know,
she can't help it.
She just can't help it, man. She is just a bundle of energy.
She's the best.
Man.
And, man,
so
like,
cool.
Dude, her dad is so nice. And, I mean, just the whole family.
The whole family.
They're the best, man.
Yeah.
They're the best. So
that's pretty cool.
Good way to start the weekend. Start the year, I should say. Not the weekend. Starting the year for the UFC schedule. Santiago Ponzinibbio, Carlson Harris. You know, both respectful guys, polite, not a lot to say at the media day. As I said, Chris Curtis, incredibly outspoken. Roman Kapilov is Roman Kapilov. The giant Chase Hooper, I believe, as Chris Curtis said. Not the giant evil Chase Hooper, just the giant Chase Hooper. I'm sorry. I apologize. There was no spying going on. That was great. I'm really interested with C-Rod, Christian Rodriguez and Austin Bashy, man. That's a good matchup.
Yep.
All the hype is around Austin Bashy. He's a huge favorite in this fight. And understandably why. I mean, the dude, if you've watched his fights, I know he's making his UFC debut, but if you watched either A, Contender Series, or
Contender
B, before
series.
That, mm-hmm. my goodness, the dude is incredibly talented. But Christian Rodriguez, man, he keeps getting these tough assignments and performing well.
Yep. You remember the last time they gave him this up-and-coming undefeated kid, what happened?
Sounds like he did pretty good against Raul Rosas, if I remember properly. He did okay in that matchup.
He did all right.
I think Bashy said, like, hey, I hear the Rosas Jr. comparisons. I don't think they're accurate. I kind of agree to – it's kind of – I don't say it's a lazy comparison, but like, oh, it's a young guy that grapples well, but they're different pedigrees and they're different styles. So I agree. Bashy does very much look like he has a bright future, but again, Christian Rodriguez, I like him saying that, you know, hey, this is you know, the experience does mean something here. You can say you're not nervous. You can say it doesn't impact you. It does. he also, I do feel like Christian is really starting to settle into his featherweight frame. You know what I mean? And starting to really, you know,
I'm
committed to this weight class now. You know, before I thought like maybe he was leaving his options open and didn't want to bulk up too much.
Yep.
And now I feel like he's like, nah, this is where I'm at. So
that should be a good one.
I think that's a good one, man.
I mean, regardless what you say about nerves or whatever, he's got 3 years of experience now in the UFC. That means something.
Yep.
That means something. So that'd be interesting. But yeah, people are hyped up about that one, man. I want to see if this kid's the real deal. I mean, we saw him at the Contender Series. So, yeah, man, I want to say Bashy's the real deal. I mean, it's funny because people say, what were they saying? Kapilov is the final form. There's him, then there's the Askren form or something. Then there was him, the Chase, and all. Everybody was, like, comparing, like,
everybody.
Yeah,
the Ben Askren was in there somewhere between as well.
It's just funny. I'm like, it's the hair, I think. It's definitely the hair.
I mean, but the
Chase. Everybody, all of them with their
little
curly hair.
Look, if you want to put Askren in there, you can, and it's the hair.
Yeah.
But Kapilov and Chase Hooper, like, it ain't just the hair.
Yeah.
Like, that's Anthony Smith, Bogdan Guskov type levels of, like, that's the same dude. Like, you can't tell me.
Curtis, it was like, have you all seen him in the same room? They're like, tell me. You haven't.
So great. It's so great. Like I said, Askren's a stretch, but it's fun, and I get it. It's just the hair. Like, those dudes are the same dudes. Like, that, like,
anybody with curly hair that goes in the UFC, everybody's just all bulking them together. Like, they've never seen dudes with curly hair. I'm like, look at John Morgan's hair.
Yeah. You could put him in
You're like the Chase Hooper
But you
version.
Can't tell me that Chase Hooper's dad hasn't taken at least one trip to Russia. At some point. You know what I mean? Like it turns out, like, he had an overseas work assignment there for a while. He was there for 6 months.
You know, got a little lonely. Got cold at night. Vodka wasn't enough.
Oh, man. All right, I'm looking forward to the card. Like I said, obviously, you know, the focus is on 311 next week, and understandably so. It's always the big pay-per-views. But I think, you know, as usual, there's going to be some fun fights, man. There always is.
Yep. I will say, because I know we're wrapping here soon. So the media day today, yesterday, the weigh-ins was at the Palace Station.
Right.
So there is the quite possibility even into February if they're still doing it. Now, Fightnet's going to be fine. We're going to be doing it. They are doing some renovations in that area where I think it's behind the box office. We've been seeing all this other stuff, and supposedly they say you'll see what's going on when we get there Saturday.
I am interested to see because I can obviously we see it driving by on the 215.
Yeah,
but I haven't been in there in several weeks.
Yeah, I haven't been in there, and that structure is definitely taking shape on the outside. You're seeing doors on the outside of it or whatever.
Obviously, we're talking audio here, but I know you've had a lot of pictures. So, yep. But you could see where basically the existing building, they started building forward
of it. Yep.
So they started building out. Now there is, that frame of that addition is pretty well mapped out. It's already laid out. And then there's also a raised, I guess that's going to be the new entryway or something. I don't know. There's a raised area, a second roof level. I'm anxious to see.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. But that's the whole reason why they moved us from the normal Apex media days to the Palace Station. But what I'm hearing is that this doesn't look like it's a one-off right now. There's still, I think, next month or something coming up where we're going to be back over at the Santa Fe, which we did a couple times last year. But that, in all actuality, the next event in February, they might still be doing some construction, so we'll be back over the Palace Station, which means the fighters are staying at the Palace Station, which is not the nicest of hotels, but that's where the contenders guys stay. I mean, it's come a long way from where it used to be, but it's interesting. So yeah, I mean, things are definitely happening and taking shape over at the Apex. For a long time, it was always on the outside, but now the stuff is starting to happen on the inside. So I'm excited to see what it looks like. But I think it's that main room, where that main long room where we do the weigh-ins. That's where a lot of this stuff is happening. As for inside where the venue is, the actual octagon,
that's pretty much probably staying the same.
I think it's probably going to stay the same. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. So, but yeah, I'll definitely be taking some pictures on Saturday when I get there for my latest dirt update.
Dirt update. Yeah, we've got – so after this weekend – the next event slated for the Apex is February 15th. So that's still a month away. So they've got some time to make some. But then after that, there's quite a bit. So it'll be interesting to see what they get done, because you've got March 1st at the Apex. You've got March 8th at T-Mobile Arena, which you would think they would like to utilize the Apex if they can.
Yep.
And then March 15th as well is at the UFC Apex. So, that three-week stretch of events to start out March, you'd like to think they'd like to get some use out of it. And then it goes back on the road again. You go to London, you go to Mexico City.
And they're going on the road quite a bit. I mean, Dana's been saying it for a while. They want to take the show on the road. And while there are still events at the Apex, like we've said before, I think the Apex is always going to be some factor in a year's time. But I'm already getting the feel that they're branching out. I start to feel like we see Seattle's coming up. They're doing these international stuff. I mean, this could be – I mean, we're going to be at the Apex this year, but compared to last year, I think it's going to be just a lot less, a fraction of it. So it'd be interesting. I like going to the Apex. So but if that means I'm doing a lot of couch, working on couch nights, I'm pretty cool with that as well. Because
yep.
So hopefully I don't get the nod to do a lot of the traveling. Because, I'd rather – it's one thing, New York's cool or whatever, and we've joked and said it before. I'd rather be on a five-hour flight that's halfway to something cool as opposed to – Jersey or something where I'm just another one of these,
So I've got some news for you.
Yeah, I know.
picking Jersey. There will be some Jersey.
There will be some Jersey. That will not be me on that one.
You're not doing that.
I'm gonna put my foot down right now. I'm not doing that Jersey event.
Oh, that's funny. No, I get it. We'll see how the schedule plays out. All right, so listen, we kinda touched on it a little bit when we were talking about Chris Curtis, but I did want to get your take on this PFL thing. Now, look, I understand the PFL is easy targets, and I understand Don Davis is easy targets, but I feel like this is kind of being misrepresented a little bit. This, this information came out, a contract was leaked that these new contracts are being
$500,000,
but it was never $1 million of a bonus to win the night of. I feel like that's what it's being painted out as. Hey, if you're a champion, you used to get $1 million. Now you only get $500,000. That's not true. You got $1 million for the whole playoffs.
For the whole playoffs.
So now you're getting a
playoffs and tournament, or just playoffs?
Playoffs and tournament. Yeah. Not the regular season was itself.
Right.
But then if you won the playoffs,
the postseason playoffs,
you got
areas.
$1 million.
Yep.
But it was $1 million all in.
All in.
It was. Now, granted, they
just
gave you
never
the check.
Said that.
They never said
and
it.
And they've never clarified.
And
people
now,
have people have said shit
now
about
it's biting
it.
Them in the ass.
Now it's biting them in the ass.
Now it's biting them in the ass. Because now everybody. Because now you will get a $500,000 bonus.
Yep.
But you'll still make. You may make a little bit less for $1 million, but you're not going to make – I don't think it's going to be – I just feel like it's being paint it as they literally cut the value of winning this in half, and they didn't. And I hope people realize that. Again, I'm not trying to say that everything they do is perfect. And again, they always this is sometimes the issue of not being maybe transparent or trying to leave something out there, because they never really came out like, you know, they handed the check for $1 million. Yep. Everybody thinks. I mean, they would say, and look, we all kind of leaned into it too. Not that we were trying to help them cover up anything, but
until we found, we didn't know. I know, I personally didn't know.
I think a lot of people didn't know.
I was like, wow, they're giving them $1 million that night, and then somebody was like, it's not actually that.
Yeah, you get $1 million all the way along.
And I know anybody that's listening to this, we've talked about it. Anybody that's listening, we've definitely said, like, you're not getting $1 million that night, you know. So it's unfortunate that people are out there still believing that that was the case. But it felt like some fighters almost, like, they didn't even know, too.
I don't think they did.
Because people are like, oh, you just got $1 million. And they're like, well, I'm still kind of waiting for that $1 million. Like, that's because it's not
all there together, brother.
You're getting they're getting their pay for the individual fights. And then this is like an extra the bonus pay or whatever that goes on through it or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, I think it probably just bit him in the ass. If they had maybe had a little bit more transparency and just said, like, this is what this check actually represents, you know. But granted, maybe they didn't if they never had to make this move, it would still be that way.
Right.
But unfortunately, financials and things, they had to make some changes.
So here's,
and it's catching up to it.
So here's – all right, so here's the thing. From my understanding, they plan on making – some very formal announcements next week. I did see that Don Davis is going to go back on with Mike Heck over at MMA Fighting. I don't know if that's where they plan to make the announcements, I don't know if that's where they plan to make the announcements, or if they plan to make the announcements and then come on and discuss it there. I don't know. I don't know what their schedule is for that. But my understanding is, you know, all will be revealed in the coming week.
Interesting.
But here's what I find interesting, right? Is And again, I know they're easy targets, and I'm not sitting here trying to be PFL defender. I have worked with them a couple of times over the years. Yep. I'm not currently doing any work with them, so it's not as if, you know, here I am. I'm trying to defend my employer. I'm not working with them at all. But every time they have these finals, I feel like everybody goes, this is ridiculous. Like, why are you paying out this money? Like,
yep.
Where is this money coming from? You're going to bankrupt the company.
You're going to do $6 million checks in one night?
So then they go, you know what, man? You're right. Let's trim these down a little bit. You know what I mean? And that'll probably help us sustain. It'll probably help us grow. And that's probably the right move to make. And everybody goes, you cheap fucking bastards.
Yep.
You know, it's like, what?
It's a sign of the times.
What is
it? Just means you're going, you're failing right now.
It's just so weird to me. Because, now again, I don't know what all their plans are. But let's say, you know, before, whenever we would be like, hey, have you guys ever thought about adding another division? And they're like, bro, we're already giving away like $6 million.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if we can do $7 million. What if this means they can open up another division now? What if this means they're able? You know what I mean? Like, this is going to give opportunities. Now, does that mean the greatest for those winners that maybe make a little bit less? Now, again, it's not going to be half. It's going to be a little bit less. It's not going to be half. Does that great for them? No, it's not great. But is it great for them to go out of business?
No, nope.
That's not good either.
Nope.
Then it's
then
zero.
It's all bad.
Yeah. Then it's zero. So I don't know. I feel like everybody was jumping on him and attacking him. It's like, hold on, man. First of all, you wondered why the hell they were giving out these big paychecks. Now they're saying, you know, we're going to give out something a little bit less, but we think it'll help us sustain, it'll help us grow. Like, and again, part of it is their decision to, like, they haven't made any public statements yet, right?
Yep.
And I get it. They want to address it on their own time and on their own schedule, and that's fine. We've talked about it before, right? They don't owe us anything. As long as they're communicating with their athletes and their employees are okay with what's happening, then they're all good. They don't owe the public anything.
Yep.
But I don't know. I just feel like everybody was quick to jump on them when it's like, can you at least see what they're trying to do first? Like, again, you're taking out the regular season now, so they don't have to do that anymore. Now it's just going to be this tournament.
There's less obligation. There's less work, less pay, maybe.
Right?
You know?
Now I'm assuming – again, this I don't know. But I'm assuming they're going to be 8-man tournaments. 4-man tournament isn't really a tournament.
Yeah.
16-man is way too long,
and
too much can happen.
Yep.
So these athletes that used to have to win 4 fights in a year, or you know maybe you could lose one, but more than likely you kind of need to win all 4. Now they're going to have to win 3, so that's one less fight. So it's one, you know, I don't know. I just, again, I'm not trying to say they're perfect. I'm not trying to say they don't make mistakes. I just feel like everybody's jumping on them and not even bothering to give a chance. It's just like, there's the easy target. Let's just kick them while they're down.
And, I mean, and it's following right after, you know, all these fighters coming out complaining about scheduling and all this other stuff. So it'd be one thing if this was just the only thing that people were talking about.
Right.
Then maybe people wouldn't just pile it on with everything else. But I think at this point, people are literally saying, like, fighters have been yelling at them. Now they do this. Like, oh, my goodness. Whereas before, if maybe the fighters were fine and we weren't hearing anything and this is the first news that came out, people might be like, okay, I understand. I understand why they're doing it. You know, that makes sense. That makes sense. You know, for the sustainability, you know, blah, blah, blah. Whereas now they're like, oh, here's just another way that they're shitting on their fighters.
Right.
You know, so, you know, it certainly didn't help that it's following right after having all these fighters. But, you know, at the end of the day, if it helps them stay afloat, you know, eat the arguments, eat the bad press for right now, and just stay afloat. Makes sense than just, well, you're right. We shouldn't get this bad press. Let's just keep doing what we're doing and hope that we're here next year. You know, so it is what it is. But yeah, I mean, I know I wasn't too surprised because they had to do something. I mean, it's better than just saying we're not doing the format at all. You know, it's better than just saying like, you know, we're just going to do the regular season, then we're just going to just crown whoever has the best record, the champ,
right,
you know, or something.
Yep.
So they're still here, but people, you know, people like to, you know, once people are shitting on something, you know, it's hard to not jump on the bandwagon.
Right?
Just keep piling on.
Just keep piling on.
Just keep piling it on. I mean, it doesn't help with that, you know, I mean, Davis has sort of become that heel. He likes to play the heel a little bit, so, like, why not? You know, once you have a character that people want to just start arguing with, and he's more than happy to argue with people back, people are just going to jump on him. You know, it'd be one thing if he was, like, a humanitarian and he'd never been this, you know, guy that's like, bring it on, you know. Maybe people would give him a better chance. But, yeah, he's kind of painted a target on his own back.
he has. I think he welcomes it. I mean, first of all, the dude has had some incredible success throughout his career as a businessman. So
he ain't worried about shit.
Exactly.
He ain't worried about shit.
So it is funny. Like, yeah, he's living in a place that he don't care what, you know, douchebag 257 on Twitter has to say about him. You know what I mean? Like, he don't care.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm sure that he's probably not used to dealing with a community like the mixed martial arts fan base. You know what I mean? Like, it is they will come after you.
It's
they
a
will
different
absolutely
beast.
Come after you.
Different beast.
But we'll see. What I guess, hang tight. Like I said, I don't know what their plans are. I don't know if it's to announce it on that show or if he'll talk about it or whatever. But I don't know, man. I still feel like they're trying to do the right thing. I'm not saying they're batting 1,000.
Yeah.
I'm not saying every move and decision they make is phenomenal. But I do feel like they're trying to do the right thing, and I do feel like there is still some opportunities there. I don't. In every dealing and every observation I've had with them, they're not shady.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not
trying
shady.
To do right. I mean, they're trying to do right. They're trying to make it entertaining, and they're trying to keep it afloat. I mean, like, no reason to doubt that they're doing something nefarious or whatever. But I do wonder, do you think they're going to try to sandwich the announcement after the Air Force Reserve signing-ins or swearings, you know? Do you think they're going to maybe do it before it, and they're going to call it, like, the Air Force, you know?
I think maybe you do a couple of the swearing-ins, then you make the
then
announcement.
Then you drop the bomb, and then you do a couple more.
Are weird.
They are.
And you're a military person.
I respect it, and like, I've defended them, you know, and I see people lose their mind. That's the only reason why I bring it, because people lose their absolute mind when it goes on. So now the only thing that would make it even funnier is for the people that turn it off when they see the swearing in and the pledge to enlist, and then they're like, nobody's watching. Let's drop the news now. Drop the news now.
New enlistee Private Jackson, can you read this announcement, please?
Oh. Instead of swearing, raise your right hand and read this statement.
The PFL will no longer be hosting regular season events. We will now be a tournament-based only promotion with the C's determined as follows. A, career record. B,
and God bless America.
That's good. I mean, dude, I do like – they have stuff to figure out. Like, we talked about last week, and I'll continue talking about it. Like, it is weird. They've got, you know, a Road to Dubai event coming up with a Bellator belt on it. You know what I mean? Like,
it's crazy.
I don't.
But, I mean, when somebody's keeping you afloat, you kind of do what they want to do.
You do what you got to do.
If somebody goes to Dana and said, that card's not good enough, bring a different card, and he's like, okay. That's the kind of money. When they're throwing money like that out there, I mean, they get what they want.
Oh,
it's,
absolutely.
It's definitely head-scratching some of the shit.
Like 2.5 weeks away, by the way. And
wow.
This kills me. You go to PFL MMA, right? PFLMMA.com. I'm on the PFL's website, right? And again, the Road to Dubai thing, I don't even know when I talk about it. Do I be like, PFL/Bellator? We always do that. It's going to be confusing. But like, if I go and I just click on schedule, it brings up the 2024 PFL season.
Wow.
So like, and then if I go, I'll just click 2024 and make it 25. Oh no, 2025 isn't an option yet. So if I want to see the Road to Dubai card,
which is in two weeks,
I got to go to schedule, and then I got to scroll down to Bellator Champion Series, which it ain't even called anymore.
Wow.
So that I can see the Bellator Champion Series on Saturday, January 25th. Now, if I want to know what time it is and how to watch it, well, that's just impossible.
Yeah.
Because if I hit how to watch, it just comes up to a page that says ESPN Plus, watch now. And that's all it says. And then when I click on that, it goes to ESPN.com, and it just shows the entire ESPN.com schedule. You know what I mean? Like, that stuff, that may seem like a silly thing, and maybe that's not how the majority of people figure out how and when and where to watch something.
Yeah.
But if we, who live in this space, who, now I no longer run a website that shows schedules, and but I know a lot of people used to go to the MMA Junkie schedule page because they liked the ease of the layout and the scheduling and all that. How do I know what data to put in there? Because you don't even have it on your own page. Yeah. Like, so what do I do?
That's crazy.
I don't get it. Even in fact, I don't go to MMA Junkie very often, but I'm going right now. I see that you guys for your broadcast just have TBA on there.
TBA.
So that's, 16 days away. Usman Nurmagomedov versus Paul Hughes, which is a very, very big fight.
Yeah.
And one of the sport's leading websites doesn't even know where to tell you to watch it because you haven't told them where they can tell you. Just, that's the shit that's got to get figured out. Like,
That's crazy.
Argue about the team format and the regular season format and the play. Argue about that all you want, but like when you can't even clearly communicate to people when this thing is happening and how to watch it, that's bad.
That's bad.
That's bad. So that's bad. Anyway, rant over. Like I said, they're not perfect.
Yeah,
they make some mistakes.
Yep.
But sometimes, I feel like it gets. They're not shady. I can just tell you that from every dealing I've had with people on multiple levels of that company.
Yep.
They're trying to do the right thing. And so I think maybe give them a little.
Yeah, and clearly if there's a sign that there's things lacking within the organization, look at their webpage.
No bueno.
No bueno.
All right, listen. I got fired up. Now I gotta go home. I literally came straight from the airport to here, so I gotta go see my family, have a little time. No, I guess you got weigh-ins in the morning, right? You'll be there for that.
Yes, indeedy.
I will not be there for the weigh-ins. My family's coming to town, so I'm going to pick them up from the airport. But I will be there on Saturday, so I'll be there for the fights.
So you'll be there in the post-fight room?
It's really not useful for you. I'm not filming for anybody.
Because you'd have to walk past the exit to get there.
I don't even know what the situation is in there right now with construction. I might not be able to make it to either one.
Yeah,
you know
that's
what I mean?
True.
Like, it's tough. True. And so, but this will be the return of the and a half episodes, of course, over at patreon.com/TheMMAROJO. And I'm sure you want me to bounce out early to get a head start on that.
That's
because
true.
We don't want to keep our listeners waiting.
That's true. Good
you know
point.
What I mean? Like,
good point.
If I sit there in that post fight room and you know what I mean?
Adds an extra hour.
You see what I'm saying? And like, I don't even know, like,
or worse.
I mean, and you guys are the ones really putting in the work. So why should I be back there, like, taking the spotlight from you guys?
That's true.
You
know I'm like, no, Morgan. Let me get this first question.
And that's fair. That's fair. And I know I've kind of shunned you over the past, and I've been like, bro, this is my job. But I'm kind of come around on it.
As the front row center guy, I need to be better at that.
I
put my
Cold Coffee's about to be first question guy. It's not that far away. Not that far away.
I don't want that.
I think you got to get to the point where even at like just the press conferences when you're just on the big press conference.
Kevin, no.
Madison
Kevin,
Square Garden.
Settle down, Kevin. I got first question. Hold on.
I just want to hear Dana White. Cold Coffee, what you got?
So I have a habit
hey guy that used to work for me.
Hey guy. So I always, every event, usually I put some random ass, like, made up, like, outlet name just for shits and giggles.
Because we have to fill it out every single RSP time. Yep.
So this one, I was like, I don't know what to put. So I was just like, MMAfrontandcenterguy.com is what I put in my website. But then I got there, of course, at the media day, and it said USA Today.
Boo.
But it's just fun because I stopped doing it a couple times. Then Nobby came over. She's like, you haven't been putting your stupid websites down. I was like, well, let me get back on that then. She might not have phrased it that way, but that's ultimately what she was saying.
You got to give her something entertaining. Yeah. I remember there was one point when they were designing the new media portal, basically, where all the media has to log into.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you have to fill out all your information. That's where you get your credentials. And eventually, like, they made it really cool where, like, that's where you get all your downloads.
B-roll, pictures, images, really super useful. It's nice.
But they were testing it out, like, the new portal, and they were like, hey, they're like, would you mind just logging in? It's not live yet, but would you mind logging in and putting in, like, just some information or whatever so we can test it and make sure it all. I'm like, yeah, absolutely happy to help you out. But there was one of them. I don't know if it's still on there. I haven't looked in forever. But under the profile section, it was like, any dietary restrictions, I guess, so that they could concern that for, like, the media meal or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I filled it all out, but under dietary restrictions, I put must have beer to survive. and now we got a kick out of that one. She's like,
that's funny.
This is beautiful.
That's
like,
nice.
Yeah. So anyway, back to live action.
You do something hundreds of times a year. It's like,
it's
you got to keep it a little fun. It's
the little
things.
You got to have a little fun. Yeah. All right, so back to live action. Our off season is over. Our 3-week off season is over. Hopefully you enjoyed it.
It was nice. It was nice. But yeah, it was good to get a break. I certainly didn't get the point where I was like, oh, I have to have MMA this week. But once we started going and it was coming, I was like, all right, cool. We're gonna get back into action.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
College football playoffs, gonna watch a little something tonight, Penn State, Notre Dame, and then tomorrow night. Ohio State, Texas.
Tomorrow it's on.
It's going to be a good one. What a cool little stretch of football, right? I mean, obviously MMA is our jam, and like I was talking to somebody this past weekend, like, I don't get to watch much college football. I know you're a big college football.
I know, but it's like on Saturdays.
It's always
so
on Saturdays.
It sucks.
But watching the college football playoffs, since we haven't had events, has been fun.
It's been amazing.
It's been really fun.
That's why I just like today. It's Thursday.
Yeah.
I get to watch some action. Yep. Tomorrow's Friday. Get to watch it after the weigh-ins. Like, I can watch those games, and I love it.
How cool is this weekend, though? Thursday, Friday, college football playoffs. Saturday, Sunday, pro football. Very cool.
Football. Let's go, because it's almost done. Once college football's done, I'm like, it sucks.
I didn't see what seed the Cowboys got. I'll have to pull that up. I didn't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that one.
I didn't see where they're
I'm sure they're in there somewhere.
You gotta be.
You know,
gotta be.
Somewhere in there.
Powerhouse. All right. Listen, appreciate everybody. It's patience this week. And, as I said, every over at patreon.com/MMAroadshow. We'll be back to the and a halves this week. So appreciate your support as always. But for everybody out there, thanks for
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.